Thank you. Let's get the scene. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, it is so good to see you all this morning. Welcome to church. I just pray that the grace and the peace of our Lord and Savior, His hope and His love dwell deeply within your hearts this morning as we gather for worship. And I can't help myself either. I know it's a little early, at least liturgically speaking, but Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas indeed. It's so good to see you all. Speaking of Merry Christmas, I just wanted to remind you, we do have two Christmas Eve services this week, 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock. The 4 o'clock is going to be for children and families, although families can go to the 6 o'clock too. But the 4 o'clock is going to have an Easter pageant. Gee, with Christmas pageant. I'm a mess this morning. I tell you what, a Christmas pageant with the kids, and that's really, really neat. And they're going to have a wonderful time with that. 6 o'clock is going to be a traditional service with candlelight and all of those sorts of things as well. Want to invite you to those things. We also want to invite you to an evening of worship and prayer next year on Sunday, January 25th. In the evening, though, at 5 o'clock, again, an evening of worship and prayer, it's going to be down in the atrium. And the atrium is that great big room over by the gym that's been recently renovated into a multi-use space. And it's been equipped for fellowship and dinners and things like that, but also for worship in a reflective acoustic style. And so we will hope you will join us in this new expression of worship at Southern Hills next year. Now I invite you to stand and greet your neighbor and share the peace of Christ with them. Brothers and sisters, let us join together in prayer. Jesus, we welcome your Spirit in this place, your Spirit that is giving us such joy, and we can feel your love between each and every one of us as a family, the family of God and a church family. And so, Lord Jesus, as we come and surround your throne this morning, we pray that all that we do, our prayers, our music, listening to your scripture, may it speak into our hearts so that we might magnify your name as Emmanuel, God with us. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
stand as you are able for our call to worship. Shine forth, dear friends, for God is with us.
God is with us now.
Sing praise, sisters and brothers, for God is present.
God is with us here.
Dry your tears, children of God, for Christ has come and comes again.
God is with us in every time and place.
As we continue to worship and honor God, let us unite in the Apostles' Creed, which states what we believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated.
Love that filled the earth. We light again the candles of hope, peace, and joy. Our final candle, the purple candle, is the candle of love. May your love reign in our hearts forever. As we light the candle of love, we reflect on the good news of God's love brought to us, to Mary, by the angel Gabriel. May your love reign in our hearts forever. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." May your love reign in our hearts forever. Help us to remember that your love is like a circle with no beginning and no end. Just as the angel announced your birth, may we always be ready to share the good news of your love and how you came to earth to bring us salvation. As we light this candle of love, we pray for love to reign in our hearts. May we show your love to others and share with them the message of salvation. Amen.
Our children to come forward for a message with Mr. Adam.
Good morning. How's everybody today? Yeah? Yeah? Is it? You know what I don't like about this time of year? There's like nothing to look forward to. Like, what? There is? What?
God's birthday.
No way. Is that coming now? Oh my goodness, I totally forgot. What do we do on Christmas? Oh, we open presents. And we do celebrate about Jesus' birthday. You got an early present? I got to go get presents for people. What am I going to get? So like, what do people want this year? Like, I know. They want socks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. But I got on fancy socks, even have Santa Claus on them. Sorta. And a funny mustache. And oh my, it's almost like they might be like me, huh? Oh, an early present. Yes. You do. How awesome. Is that a Christmas present too? Maybe. Okay. So it's not just about presents. It is about Jesus. You guys are right. You all like went straight to the end, right from the get-go. How am I going to do this?
Started just with Jesus. Actually, yeah.
It did start with Jesus. You're right. And that's really the most important gift of all, isn't it? Because he was a gift to who? All of us, wasn't it? It was God's gift to all of us for Jesus to come here and show us all of the wonderful parts of God's love, wasn't it? Oh, that does go all the way to the end. I love that. How cool for you. So as we think about Christmas, and we do love the gifts, and it's good to give gifts, and we love to get gifts, but we need to make sure we remember it's about the biggest gift of all, isn't it? It's about Jesus, right? All right. Can you all pray with me? God, during this Christmas season, help us to remember that Jesus really is the greatest gift of all, that his love for us and to all of us is what we need to remember this holiday season. Amen. All right, guys.
Well, brothers and sisters, it is our joy to once again be able to baptize a baby during Christmas on this particular Sunday. And I want to invite Anya Stella Pasham's family to come down here with me and also Reverend Burroughs as well. And congregation, I invite you to turn in your hymn books to page 39. You can come right on up here. Yeah. Oh my goodness, Anya. Are you going to share with me?
Yeah.
I'm a little hungry. Yeah. Yes. Okay, good. All right, page 39, brothers and sisters. And brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and we're given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's good gift offered to us without price. So I'm going to just ask you all a few questions, and you'll say, I do. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? And do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they may present themselves? And do you confess Jesus as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in his grace and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And this next one you'll say, I will. And will you nurture Anya in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and by your example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself and to profess her faith openly and to lead a Christian life? Bless this here, and you'll get a little closer. Brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you. And let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and you brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through the water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. And in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations, declare his works to the his glory among all the people. And so pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who receive it, to wash away her sin, to clothe her in righteousness throughout all of her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Stella, caution. We baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We pray, O Lord, you would bless this young lady. Fill her with your Spirit. Protect her. Help her make good decisions in her life. Bless her family, O God. Give them the strength to be the good parents that she deserves. Bless all of these, O God. May your love, power, and spirit be with them. And we pray this in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. The blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am.
In our Christmas season, our movies, our songs, so many things often invite us, particularly as adults, to reimagine, to re-enter into a childlike state of imagination. That is because we often become so jaded throughout the year that when we come to connect with this fantastic, wonderful, amazing gift, it's often hard for us to reconcile with. And so as we confess this morning, I pray that we'll enter into a time of holy imagination, where we'll feel renewed as we re-embrace the Christmas story anew. Let's pray together. Shepherding God, guide us back to the paths of your promise. When we doubt, restore our trust. When we fear, restore our courage. When we feel alone, restore our awareness of your presence. Help us to be a Christmas people, a people who hear when the angels sing. Help us to be an Easter people, a people who trust in the promise of new life. Help us to be an Emmanuel people, a people who believe in your constant presence. In hope and trust we pray. Amen. Do not be afraid, dear friends, for God is with us now and forevermore. Christ's grace is ours today and always. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God is with us now. Glory to God. Amen. Lord be with you. Let's pray. Father, as we so nearly enter into this celebration of your incarnation, I am struck by the enormity of your compassion for us. You not only took pity on us, lost as we were in our slavery to sin and death, but you entered into our nature, our reality, becoming a human being in an ultimate act of love and mercy. You did not choose distance. You did not send an angelic aid. You yourself came to dwell among us. And yet you did not enter into royalty or splendor. No, you came to us in the utmost humility of a life that would reveal so much to us about your loving mercy, your character, who you are, who you always have been, and who you always will be. Through your Holy Spirit, I pray that you will lead us as a church into a posture of this radical compassion that you show us. May we be inspired by our reflection on history, on the reality of your story, to see you in the poor, in the refugee, as you were in Egypt, in the homeless, as you said that you were in your teaching, and, Lord, in each other. May we see you. Increase our faith and our love, and lead us as your body into acts of compassion for the world and for one another, as you so beautifully and powerfully example to us in this season. And in that spirit, we join with your body in all of its diversity around the world as we pray with churches in every nation and tongue, as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I would now like to invite our ushers to come forward to receive our morning tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
Almighty God, above all, we bless you. We bless you with our words, with our heart, with the music from our lips. And we pray that you will bless us in these tithes and offerings, this church, to serve you faithfully in your kingdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. You may be seated.
The scripture lesson for today is taken from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Brothers and sisters, one of the questions that our faith occasionally asks of us is, what happens when we do hard things? What happens when we do hard things? What happens when we do things that are righteous? But in order to be righteous, it requires some hardship. This week, we journey with the Holy Family through some of the hard things that they went through. Today, we are going to hear the account really from Joseph's perspective, as the Gospel of Matthew kind of leans. Christmas Eve, on the Christmas Eve service, we're going to hear it from Mary's perspective, as the Gospel of Luke kind of leans as well. But each of them and their perspectives that we kind of get clues from in the Gospels, they tell a rich and profound story of Christmas for us. Joseph, in this passage, is noted to be righteous. Now, you might ask, well, why? And that would really be a really good question, as a matter of fact. Along the way, of course, you know this story well, they are betrothed to one another. They have had it all arranged with both of their families. Again, as weird as this might sound to our modern ears, there was a bride price that was paid by the groom's family to the bride's family, and they had made a covenant with one another as families. And then Joseph becomes aware that something is amiss. Mary's pregnant. And he is not sure what to do about this. In fact, I think probably in many ways he was very conflicted, so much conflicted that God had to send an angel to him in a dream and kind of talk him through it. But you see, he was unsure about what to do because he had the weight of his culture leaning on him on the one side, and on the other, he had the Jewish law leaning on him pretty heavily as well about what he was supposed to do in situations like this. The expectations were very, very, very clear to the world, to the law, to his family, to his town. Mary had been unfaithful. And Joseph, according to all of that expectation, was supposed to divorce her, send her on her way. That was the expectation. You almost get a sense, don't you, of the tenuousness of this moment. It's tense. It could go either way if it were not for the gentle hand of God just touching and moving people's hearts as God does. Now, here's what was going on, I would imagine, in Joseph's heart. If he didn't send her on her way, if he didn't divorce her, well, people would assume a number of things about him and Mary as well. One, that Joseph really was the father, and that he was the father prematurely or premaritally. And that was a no-no. That would bring you shame. If he were not to divorce her, another thing would come upon him as well. Joseph would be looked on by the society and his family as weak. that he didn't dismiss or divorce Mary and send her on in her shame because he was a weak male who deep in his heart just had this love for Mary and he just couldn't let it go. Again, I know that sounds strange to our modern ears, but that was the expectation of the time. And if he were to go along with it and continue to be in marriage with her, he would be shamed. He would share her shame, and they would carry that together. Of course, you know the story and how it goes. The angel convinces him in a dream to do the hard thing, the difficult thing. He was called to bear shame with Mary, to take on himself and even his family name, humiliation. But he would marry Mary. And in that, I think I see something very powerful that stretches throughout all of the timeline of God's salvation history. It's in that moment when Joseph decided to marry Mary that he took on the mantle of a righteous prophet from old. He took on the mantle of prophets that spoke about God's love and God's patient endurance with the people, calling them back. He took on the mantle of prophets like Hosea. Do you remember Hosea and Gomer? And he was called by God to marry a woman who was less than honorable in their society. And it was a picture, it was a visual picture of the broken relationship that existed between God and his people. And yet, it is also this powerful image of the love of God working through all of that in righteousness to bring Gomer home, to bring his people home. And he did it despite any shame, any hardship, and humiliation. He took on humiliation, Joseph did, as a way to show godly love. You all have picked up on the fact that we've talked about how God's strength is shown through our weakness this fall, right? Well, it also is for God's love as well. His love is shown very powerfully through our own weakness, through our own difficulties and shame. This is the mark of a righteous God. Now get this. Joseph's actions, his decision to take on humility and shame, well, that's a preview of what Jesus would be doing in his life and in his ministry for his people. It's also a reflection of the heart of God that has been shown through God's prophets for ages upon ages upon ages. A righteous God and a righteous man. I have been very mindful this week of my years at Cardinal Hill Rehab Hospital when I was a therapist. And, you know, you all know, some of you know my story. My dad was a pastor, and God called me to be a pastor in my sophomore year of high school. And I said, nope, talk to the hand, God, because I'm not going to do that. Been there, done that. I've seen Dad do it. I've got other things going on in my mind. I wanted to go into healthcare some way, somehow. And of course, I went to school and did all of that. And I saw patients and was in practice for a while, and nearly 10 years. And I remember when I accepted my call to ministry, And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, look how much I've wasted. I could have been in ministry. I've come to change my mind on that, though, because all of those years I was taught by my patients and by God how to show compassion and how to show love, how to be a pastor to them through being a therapist. And I'm reminded of one of many, many families that I took care of over many years. And this is a family where the parents were in their mid to late 50s when this incident occurred. Their son was in his early 30s. And quite tragically, their son was, you know, just like you or me or anybody, was very much full of life, doing his job, and was married and had a child and all of this stuff. And unfortunately, there was this terrible accident where his head was hit by a bus, a big street bus, and it created a permanent brain damage. And it was awful. I got to know this family some 20 years later when this man was in his 50s. His parents, of course, were in their 70s. And he was in for his, what is often common, coming in to the rehab hospital to kind of work on things and get things reset again, because you kind of sometimes can get a little weak or whatever. And I got to know that family, and they started to tell me about their journey. And I listened to them, listened to how the man's wife decided that was not the life that she wanted to live. And the wife and the child went on their way many, many years ago. I learned about how they decided that they were going to do the hard thing and that they were going to take care of their son. That would be their life's work from then on out. And this was difficult for them, as you can well imagine. Financially, she decided that she would be the one that would quit her job. She expressed regret and even shame for giving up her profession to take care of her son. It was difficult. It was hard. They talked about years and years and years of just backbreaking work to care for their son. And you could hear it and see it in their lives, their hips and their knees, their shoulders. They had arthritis in them. Their hands were strong, but you could see the wearing on them. And I marveled at this family, and I thought to myself, what a beautiful thing that they are, because they chose to do the hard thing because they loved one another. These parents loved their son, and they went through it together. And the stories kept on coming, you know. I think a lot of times we just don't know the lives that other people live. And they told about how they would take their son out to like the mall or something like that, just to get him out. And people would give them looks like, why are you taking him out? You know better. Shuns. And you know, you could hear people click their tongues. What are you doing? Oh, the shame and the humility. But they persisted righteously because of love. Doing the hard thing for love is a godly act. And Christmas invites us to marvel at the quiet faithfulness of love that Mary and Joseph had for one another and for God. And it's also a time that asks us to, it draws us in, it pulls us closer to God, and to realize and to worship God a God who chooses to entrust to the world his salvation plan for the world, entrust his salvation plan to such faithful people like Mary and Joseph and you and me. Because we're the church, and it is our turn to be faithful and do the hard things for the beautiful heart of God. I invite us really to think about the words that maybe Joseph mulled over in his heart as he wandered out underneath of the night sky, and he wondered about this Jesus, the Messiah born, and what that would mean for him and for many. But I also invite you to take up the words of the choir's anthem as well and wander and wonder in your life this week as well. And think about, as you give praise to God, how you might take up the hardship that sometimes God calls us to, not because hardship is necessarily a good thing, but because it expresses faithfulness to a righteous God. Let's pray. Jesus, we are reflective of the hardship and the shame and the difficulty and the humiliation you experience for us, and yet we are so amazed by your faithfulness. We're amazed by the faithfulness of your mother, and we're amazed by the faithfulness of Joseph, who inspires us. And so inspire us this week, Almighty God, to take up your mantle, the mantle that Joseph took up, as we praise and glorify you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And I invite you to turn in your hymnals to page 240 for our closing carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. brothers and sisters. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.